begin this morning with a word of prayer. And the first thing we ought to do is be sure you're in the power of the Holy Spirit, that we worship God in spirit and in truth, in the power of the Spirit and truth of who and what He is. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise You for the glory that You are. We praise You, Father, that You've let Yourself be made known to us in Your Word, and that You act in our individual lives. We pray that all that we do this morning will be a response to all that You are, a worship of You, of Your Son, in the power of Your Spirit. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen. Okay, by way of introduction to our song, this week, I just want to go through a couple of things that happened in history. In this week, in 1794, the death of John Witherspoon. Does that ring a bell to anybody? John Witherspoon. Yeah? John Witherspoon? He was the only clergy who signed the Declaration of Independence. And he died this week in 1794. In 1917, the death of Oswald Chambers. Now, you might know Oswald Chambers for the his glory and the things that he's written. Yeah, his what? Yeah, Mount Most Reassias. I couldn't read my own handwriting. And what happened was, I don't know if you know this or not, but Oswald Chambers was in the military in World War I and died. He was a chaplain. And his wife compiled the messages that made the book My Utmost for His Highest. So that's what happened there. And in 1553, now think about Martin Luther, in 1517 began the Reformation. Well, Jacob Sturn, S-T-U-R-N, presented in the 1530s his protest, which is the foundation of Protestant, which is what we are. We're protesters. We're Protestants. And so these are some of the things that happened this week in history. Now we're going to sing hymn number 461. I love to tell the story. And the thing about this that I do love is I love verse 3, those who know it best still love to hear it. And I think that just really says the truth of those that do know the story. So let's all stand and sing together, all three verses, 1461, I love to tell the story.
You're asking me to leave with you.
Of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love, I love to tell a story, because I know it is true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story, 'twill bring my name in glory, to tell the old story of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story, His blessings to repeat. What seems each time I tell it, more wonderful is sweet. I love to tell a story, for some have never heard the message of salvation from God's unholy word. I sorry, twenty my theme in glory, to tell the old story of Jesus and His love. I ought to tell the story for those who know it best, seem hungry and thirsty to hear it like the rest. And in His scenes of glory I sing a new song. 'Twill be the old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme for me, to tell the old story of Jesus and His love.
Okay, a few things I want to cover. First of all, let's talk about those in need of prayer. And let's see, Terry, what's the latest on Thomas?
Thomas is doing fine. Yeah, he's doing really well. So, his cough is finally gone, he feels great.
How's he doing? Work, school, and all?
No school.
No school right now.
Yeah, he's doing work. Good.
Good, very good. Tell him we're still in prayer.
I will.
Constantly. He's in my daily prayers. Let's see, now, how's the babies doing?
They're great. Yeah, they're gaining ounces by the day, yeah. So, they have their... I guess 1 month checkup at the doctor. You know, they've only been home a week, but they're a month old now, and yeah.
Well, while you're on a roll, how's your husband doing?
Well, someone's got a race car, so I'm doing really
good.
Yeah.
Good. All right, any other prayer requests? Yes.
I do. I need to put my brother Bobby on the prayer list, so God knows the need, and his wife. They just need prayer.
Okay. God knows what he needs.
Yeah.
Okay. In prayer. Any other prayer requests? Yes.
A friend of ours, Jan, brought her up before in the past. Her cancer numbers are starting to rise again. So.
Okay. What was the first name?
Jan.
Jan, okay. We'll be in prayer. How's your dad doing?
He's hanging in there. It's kind of day by day.
It's a day by day thing. That's the way it's going to be.
I do want prayer too. We're going out of town in about a week, so prayer that everything goes okay.
Okay. Are you driving or flying?
Flying.
We're flying.
Flying, okay. Pray for the pilot.
Yeah.
Good. Be in prayer for the St. Clairs. They're traveling, be gone for a week, and I talked to them this morning, Brian this morning, and they were already well on the road, so please be in prayer for the St. Clairs. Yes, sir.
Two of our young people are getting married today, and so be in prayer for Anna Salivar and Casey Moore. They're part of our youth ministry staff up at camp and been part of SLAM, and apparently that whole thing worked out for them, and now they're going to spend eternity together with that. So they're getting married today in Leonard, Texas.
Now, Wednesday night was an interesting night in our study of Acts in chapter 15, getting ready for the second missionary journey. Paul and Barnabas will split, and it's unfortunate what God had to do to get them to separate, cause tension between them. Barnabas was grace and wanted to take John Mark on the journey with them. Paul was begrudging that he deserted them before, and he didn't want him to go. So they split. But you know, to me it was just such grace. Because the two great men should not have been together. They didn't need to be together. They needed to be on their own missionary journeys. Tradition has it that Barnabas went on and had very successful in Cyprus and in North Africa. And I feel the same way. I just let you know here at this assembly. We don't have that many people to lose anyway. But with Chris Day, Phil McMillan, and Kit Sheehan, these men could serve in any church anywhere. I mean that. Big church, small church, any one of them. And I like that Chris is getting just a little touch. He's going to do the wedding this afternoon. But he learned it's not all that great being a pastor. He had to lose half a Saturday, go driving there, driving back, and all that, doing it, and now he loses all Sunday afternoon, driving there. It isn't a big deal, see? After all, I would get the preacher to do it on Friday night. He has nothing to do Friday night and Saturday night. So we'll just take him up for the wedding rehearsal and then the wedding. Sometimes it's a lot of fun. And I know when the Martins got married, I loved it. And, of course, it was at the mansion, so of course I loved it. And just be in prayer for Chrissy drives and goes and does the wedding. Any other? Yes.
Really positive feedback from the internet listener last week. I want to share with you.
All right.
That they do listen to our song, listen to our prayers. So any attempt to speak up would be really helpful. Sometimes. Unfortunately, if you don't speak up loud enough and I can't pick it up, I have to erase it. And then some of the times too, you know, don't worry about the way you sing. I'll try to balance it out, but as long as you sing and I can capture the voice, you know, that we can do something together. So just wanna let you all know that your voice matters. And it was very, very appreciated.
I love how you sub in the Norman Tabernacle Choir for our singing. That's very, very thoughtful.
I do want to ask for a prayer request because right now I'm dealing with a lot of insight, and I'd like you guys to pray for me during this upcoming week, that the project that I'm working on, that God would actually be in the middle of it. And I'm sure I'm not the only one facing this at work, you know, but at church, everywhere, we all have this kind of problem too. It's so easy to get into not willing to listen our mistakes and thinking that, oh, anybody give us any feedback is stupid or is comical or whatnot, you know, and it's all easy too sometimes for me, like being a senior, to give the feedback and people are not listening. So I'd like you guys to pray for me that my flesh nature is not gonna kick in when I have to give, you know, the feedback of some way.
We will.
Yeah, I appreciate
thank you.
It.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, thank you. Yes, Eve.
I have a friend in Canada, and his oldest son is battling cancer. So I'd like prayers for he and his two sons.
We'll be in prayer.
His name is Bob Houston, and it's spelled Houston.
Okay. Thank you very much. We'll be in prayer. Any other prayer requests? Yes.
Just continuing prayer for Teresa and Judy are my two friends at the preschool that both have lost their son in the last 2 weeks. Just continuing prayers for them and for their families. Continuing prayers for Jack. He's a young boy. He's 10. We started praying for on Wednesday night a few weeks ago. That started having double vision. He's 10 years old, and it had problems where his skull wasn't growing as his brain was growing, and they had to do some surgery. They found two tumors. One is operable that they were doing, I think they're doing this week coming up. The other one is in his brain stem or somewhere where it's not operable. So just prayers. They are believers, but this little boy, you just told his parents, I'm not ready to die. So it's just the parents dealing with that and the little boy in his face.
Journey.
I don't know. I think they are. And then last prayer request is just there's lots of stuff on the table back there. I know y'all seen lots of donations have already come in for our sailors. Praying for our military with the holidays coming up away from their families. We have 30 sailors we're supporting. Just check the list if there's anything remaining on there you want to sign up for.
Do they still have time to bring in something?
If you still have time, bring it next Sunday. We will pack them up on December 2nd. So not next Sunday, but the Sunday after. So we have two more Sundays.
Okay.
We have all the cards we kind of laid out. Terry and I did a little bit back there from Phyllis that she made. So there's 30 sailor cards that are on the clear table. If you guys will just over the next couple of weeks sign those, I know it would mean a lot. And then the ones that are on the main table are for the college Liberty kids. We are going to send gift cards. There's a little bucket back there. Whatever you want to donate, money wise, we will just see what we get and then divide that up amongst the college kids and get probably an Amazon card. We did the last time we did it where they can get textbooks, they can order anything they need.
So if we write a check, if we want to get a check, do we make it out to SBBCYM?
Yes.
And then we can just use that, the card. Okay.
Is that good, Leslie?
Right. Yep.
Okay. Can we also do it on PayPal? Can we, if we mark it as this, if we tell Leslie?
Yeah, Martha, if you designate it, I'll see it.
Awesome. Anyway, just so y'all know, that's back there.
Okay, very good. What is needed? Do you know what is needed? Does no one to sign up for anything for it?
I kind of looked over the list. There's some things that people signed up for, maybe 10 or 15, and we need a quantity of 30. So if y'all will just take a look. I know, like, Herman brought in black socks, 30 pair, enough to cover every tailor that we're doing, but some people maybe signed up for 10 or 15. If you want to sign up for 5, if you want to sign up for 10, we've already had a couple people say, tell us what's left right before the end, and they want to help with, you know, whatever's left on the list. So.
Well, we signed up for 15 sanitations, but we brought 30. Okay. All right, any other, yes, prayer?
Continue prayer for my daughter and my friend Billy Dawn, the songwriter. He's back in the hospital, and the doctors told us his sister's stomach arrangements.
How old is Billy now?
87.
Huh?
87.
Yeah.
But my friend Dennis Marketic, who passed away 3 years ago, three weeks ago, found out the other day that he committed suicide.
Oh,
good. So,
we'll be in prayer. My goodness. Okay, any other prayer requests? Okay, now, you've got some announcements to tell us.
Yes, I'm kind of like the end of it, but we really need to keep in touch with our missionaries a little bit here, and I wanted to remind you that Carrie and Vassal have this address where we can do their shoebox ministry, and it's over in December. So you can send them a donation, and they will buy the things a little less expensive and put them in the shoebox, because they are now in Pakistan again. And then I asked Phil to contact John Hans to find out what was going on with the Rieslings, and I wanted to let you all know that they're asking for additional prayer for Pat's health, but that she is not, they are not in any danger of being in part of the caravan. So we were a little bit concerned about the caravan going up that way because it was near California, but they're not going to be involved in that. But they are asking for extra prayer for Pat's help, because she seems to be having some more difficulties and need to keep her in your prayers.
Hey, please be in prayer and consider it about the shoebox thing in Pakistan. That's a wonderful ministry. The kids just love getting that kind of thing. Joan Rice used to do that at Tucson Bible Church with John Hintz's church, and bless her heart, she's kind of really down, and her husband's really down, so I don't know what they're doing about that. I'll have to ask John. But that's a very beautiful outreach, and I'm glad we're doing it. And so if you can come up with some of the things on the list, or if you just to think, well, you know what, they might like to have a picture of me, you know, so take a picture of you in there. I don't care. But whatever you think they would enjoy, just a little something would be very nice.
Writing up.
That'd be wonderful, yeah. Yeah. Judith got a purse last Christmas from our granddaughter, and okay, but opened it up, and it had how many little, 100 just little notes that she had written to her. Oh, that was beautiful. So those were very good, just little notes. Let's see, any other announcements or things we need to take care of? The word of God declares, whatsoever man purposeth in his soul to give, so let him give not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth the gracious giver. Now, God is using this humble assembly in so many different wonderful ways. The internet, the youth programs that we have, the camp, two homes open up during a week, this church, families in this church, and then of course our assembly right here. All of these things take money. So, the got good news and bad news, as the preacher says. Good news, we have all the money we need for it. The bad news, it's in your pocket. So, you need to be considerate in the offertory. Let's prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Father, we are thankful that you've seen fit to use this humble assembly in so many wonderful ways. We'll never know. We don't need to. You know. And it's for the glory of your Son. So, Father, we pray now you receive the offerings that we're about to give, that you'll continue to use this assembly for the spreading of the gospel, spreading of the teaching of the Word of God. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Most people talk about the forgiveness of sin, and by all means, we're so thankful we're forgiven of sin. But forgiveness of sin does not equal salvation. It's when we're imputed righteousness and justified. And this hymn talks about being justified by the resurrection. And just a beautiful hymn in that respect. Okay, let's begin with the word of prayer before we go into our things we want to look at this morning. Purpose of the prayer, test yourself to see if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit, who is a true teacher. Let us pray. Now, Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for this assembly, where we can utilize the freedom we enjoy in America to spend time with others who are like-minded and looking, studying, searching the Scriptures. Father, we pray now that Your Spirit will open our eyes to things You'd have us to see and to understand about what goes on in the assembly. To this end, Father, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Now, before we begin anything, I beckon you, please be in prayer. There's so much going on in Israel and Jerusalem right now. And with all of the tweeting and all of the distractions, it took me a while to learn what Trump does. He throws his stuff out to attract everybody while he's doing his real stuff over here. He's doing stuff in Israel. He's getting ready to make some plans for Israel and for the policy of two countries being there and all that's going on there. And Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, is under severe attack right now. A lot is going on in Israel. Now, Brian was telling me that he thinks Netanyahu can't really be there when the rapture occurs, because either something's got to happen, because Israel's going to be very weak at the beginning of the tribulation period. They will lay down all their arms and trust the contract that the West will make with him. And so that's an interesting look as far as the preparation of the rapture, what's going on there. But please be in prayer for the peace of Israel, if you know what that means, and for all that's going on. Be in prayer for our president, vice president, Netanyahu, and what's going on in Israel. We care about what happens in Israel. Okay, now you have in your possession four handouts, three besides the one on teaching. Now, the lesson this morning will be on teaching, and it can be rather boring to some of you. I decided I wanted to prick your interest in what we'll be studying. So these are things that came across my understanding on the emails. First of all, beware of the far left push at the pulpit, say filmmakers. Now, people, there's just so much that goes on in a church. A pastor believes in the rapture. A pastor doesn't believe in the rapture. A pastor doesn't even know about it, doesn't even care about it. And I mean, that happens. I was at a fairly good-sized Baptist church a couple of years ago in December, November, getting ready to go to the pre-trib conference. And I said it to the pastor, and he said, oh my goodness, he said, people here wouldn't even know what you meant by the pre-trib and all that. And I wanted to say, well, shame on you, but I didn't, as my wife was standing there, and I didn't want to get in trouble. But the thing is, we have to remember, you have to listen to what's being said at the pulpit. You got to listen very carefully at what is not being said. So let's just take a look at some of these things. A documentary filmmaker says he is hard at work exposing the growing influence of radical far-left activism in evangelical congregations. That's what, I guess we're evangelical. Alright? Documentary producer Travol Luden says the 2016 film Enemy Within, about communism's influence in American politics, opened his eyes to the threat, and he is now working with director Jude Saul to expose that influence in churches and their leaders. The producer and director described their upcoming church documentary in the Sandy Reyes in the Morning. I've never heard or listened to it. Some of you may have. You have, okay. Talk show where they describe how communism and people just talk about communism. We know Islam is working against the church. Communism is working against the church. Socialism is working against the church. Satan has got all kinds of things. He's got to stop sound teaching in the pulpit. Make the pastor just be a little more watering down of the issues. Let's continue. I've studied how the left operates through the peace movement, through the Black Lives Matter movement, through the women's movement, through the labor movement, said Loudon, and they use the same methodology in the churches. The far left goal in politics has always been to move government towards socialism and eventually communism, Loudon said, and a similar goal is now underway to move churches leftward too. Oftentimes, he warned that that leftward drift affects the voting base inside these conservative churches, which is the ultimate goal of the far left. That's what happens. And people get so mad at Jeffries of the First Baptist Church in Dallas. I'm proud of him. He had the gumption to stand up and lay it out there. Let's continue. This is important. The gospel message is still preached, he told Reyes, but it's what they said, what they add on, that's the problem. That is why church members, and by the way, it was very interesting this week in Acts. I quoted James Vernon McGee. He said, when you add anything to the gospel, you don't get Christianity, you get religion. And how true that really is. Now let's continue. That is why the church members are hearing more about social justice and white privilege, warning from the pulpit about global warming, about and fragile planet, and sympathy for illegal immigrants and refugees attempting to enter the United States, the filmmaker said. And this is about a lot of preachers. And it's really interesting. We've got mass problems of poverty in America, but we want to let in thousands more and give them more Social Security than we give American citizens. People were in trouble. The church is in trouble. That's why I wanted to bring this up. The filmmaker told Reyes and not one organization that drifted left in recent years is World Mission, the chief relief organization, and a second one in danger of that far-left drift is CRU, C-R-U, formerly Campus Crusade for Christ, founded in the 50s by Bill Bright. People, nothing stays solid. I'm sorry to say Dallas Seminary is not where it was even when I was there. It was starting to drift when I was there. It's just a church, an organization, just doesn't last from generation to generation. It's not like math. You don't get to pass it down. Each generation has to make up their own mind about the gospel, prophecy, what the Bible teaches. All right? One uprising, unsurprising name dropped by the filmmakers is Jim Wallis, the controversial Sojourners founder whose namesake magazine publishes stories such as A Radical Redistribution of Love. That compares communism to brotherly love, which it isn't. A second name dropped by the filmmakers on the radio program is Russell Moore, the controversial Southern Baptist figure who now leads that denomination's Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission based in Nashville, Tennessee. People, I'm sorry, I don't stay attuned to all of these things, but as we're going to see this morning, part of my responsibility is to warn you. And to warn you, I've got to kind of stay up on it. Well, this is what I'm doing. I'm warning you. to pay attention to what you're paying attention to when you listen to somebody teaching. Moore has already caused problems within the conservative denomination of Baptists, such as ridiculing Southern Baptists who voted for Donald Trump, and he did this overtly, I understand, among other questionable decisions. But the filmmakers told Rayos their upcoming documentary will describe how Moore attended a strategy session with leaders from the human rights, just a little more, campaign, a powerful homosexual right group based in Washington, D.C. The homosexuality is an abomination. The Word of God is totally against it. Preachers advocate it. Talk about how wonderful. You've got to love them. This type of thing. Anything you can do to twist the truth. The filmmakers were likely referring to a 2014 ERLC conference of the same-sex marriage that was described in a HRC press release, which complained about the Southern Baptist Convention, but made it clear HRC was sending leaders to sit down with Moore. The filmmakers claimed the American Family Radio interview that Moore met with HRC as an ally, not a Southern Baptist Convention official, but he was still with Southern Baptist Convention, still going to this meeting. One News Now contacted ERLC for comment about the filmmakers' accusations, but did not get a response. Of course not. These are hard things to talk about, Rayos observed at one point when the filmmakers accused Arthur Pastor Tim Keller of flirting with far-left activism. This is pretty sinister and pretty deep, Luden told the radio program. This isn't just a bunch of liberals who had taken over some churches. This is an organized Marxist program to pervert and corrupt American Christianity. And you can read the comments on the side there from the radio program. Okay, this is happening in churches. Your family members, friends, go to other churches. What are they hearing? What are they not hearing? Now, the next thing that I got here is really just, I didn't know what to do here. I started just sending it out on email, but I decided it's important enough that we could look at it together. We know Dick Lamb as governor of Colorado. In that context, his thoughts are particularly poignant. Last week, there was an immigration overpopulation conference in D.C., filled to capacity by many of America's finest minds and leaders. Well, they didn't ask John Henson me to be there. I don't know. Okay. A brilliant college professor by the name of Victor Hanson Davis talked about his latest book, Mexifonia, explaining how immigration, both legal and illegal, was destroying the entire state of California. He said it would march across the country until it destroyed all vestiges of the American dream. Moments later, former Colorado Governor Richard Lamb stood up and gave a stunning speech on how to destroy America. The audience sat spellbound, and he described in 8 methods for the destruction of the United States. He said, if you believe that America is too smug, too self-satisfied, too rich, then let's destroy America. It's not that hard to do. No nation in history has survived the ravages of time. Arnold Toynbee observed that all great civilizations rise and fall, and that an autopsy of history would show that all great nations commit suicide. Here is how they do it, Lamb said. First, to destroy America, turn America into a bilingual or multilingual or bicultural country. Then he talks about that. Next paragraph. Second, you can read these. I just want to give you the highlights. Second, to destroy America, invent multiculturalism, and encourage immigrants to maintain their culture. Make it an article of belief that all cultures are equal. Divide America. Third, we could make the United States and Hispanic Quebec without much effort. So that's the Mexifonia. Then you go to the fourth one, the next page. I would make our fastest growing demographic group the least educated. I would add a second underclass, understimulated, undereducated, and antagonistic to our population. My fifth point for destroying, by the way, these are being done. Fifth point in destroying America would be to get big foundations and businesses to give these efforts lots of money. My sixth plan for America is a downfall would include dual citizenship and promote divided loyalties. Next to last, I would place all subjects off limits. Make it a taboo to talk about anything against the cult of diversity, Christianity. I would find a word similar to heretic in the 16th century that stopped discussion and paralyzed thinking. Words like racist, xenophobia, halt discussion and debate. Having made America a bilingual, bicultural country, having established multiculturalism, having the large foundations fund the doctrine of victimology. In the last minute of his speech, Governor Lamb wiped his brow, profound silence followed. Finally said, lastly, I would censor Victor Henson Davis' book, Mexifonia. His book is dangerous. It exposes the plan to destroy America. And that's what they do. And then this last piece is by Spurgeon. I'm not going to read it. Pray for preachers, people that need it. They need your prayers. We need your prayers. Okay, now, let's go to our study. Teaching. Peace of Christ ruling. Colossians 1:3-15. The word of Christ indwelling. Colossians 3:16. How does the peace of Christ rule? How does the word of Christ indwell? Teaching. 3:16. The word of Christ let indwell you richly with all wisdom. This phrase modifies the word of Christ indwelling you richly in all wisdom. Question. Why does the phrase in all wisdom modify letting the word of Christ indwell you rather than modifying what follows teaching, what follows the word? Paul has already answered the question. See what I'm doing here? This is what I have to do in study the word of God. Okay, you have a phrase, in all wisdom. Now, does that modify, let the word of Christ dwell in you? Or does it modify what's coming up? You've got to make up your mind, which it does. Paul has already answered this for us. Colossians 2:3. In whom, in Christ, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Therefore, teaching, dealing with the word of Christ indwelling you, is how we're going to get that wisdom. Because Jesus, with teaching Jesus Christ, you teach this wisdom. Next, we have the present active participle of the Greek verb didasko, teaching, instructing, or causing to learn. The present participle has the force of an imperative command to all pastor teachers. The content of the teaching here is the word of Christ or the wisdom found in the word of Christ. The present active participle is used to indicate the means of letting the word of Christ indwell the believer. A multitude of Christians in America today do not want to sit under the teaching ministry of some pastor teacher. This is because of a multitude of reasons. You know, I visited that church. I thought I was in college class again. I don't go to church to be in a college class. I go to remote. I go to feel good. I go to be stimulated, not to sit down and think. What's this use your brain stuff? See? Okay. Why is that true? One, They know more than he does. The person that feels that way knows more than the preacher does. Then find one, if that's your case, that's you, find one who knows more than you. Surely there's some pastor teacher somewhere who knows more than you do. Stop sitting and judging and maligning the pastor you're sitting under. Find one who can bring you to even greater maturity and service of our Lord. Second reason, in your arrogance, you do not want to sit under the authoritative teaching of anyone. Get under the filling of the Holy Spirit by grace through faith. Spiritual love is not arrogant. Thirdly, you simply would rather be emoted by music. Stay tuned. That's coming up in this very verse. Four, you would rather be entertained by clever emotional stories instead of verse-by-verse teaching. Clean out your itching ears. And fifth, you don't see the need to sit and learn the Word of God. Open the Bible and you will discover this is the will of God for you, as indicated in our current passage. Teaching. Present active participle of the Greek verb didasko. Paul returns again to the importance of whom you listen to in the proclamation of Scripture. It is so essential. I know I've oversaid this, but I'm just telling it again. Parents have children, will move somewhere, it's a better school district. When cancer comes in, or brain problems, cardiology, whatever, I want the best. This is the best cardiologist. This is the best brain surgeon. This is the best cancer surgeon. We want the best. Then they'll take their children to a local church where the Word of God is not taught in truth. They don't care. People, you're talking about your soul, your brain. This is what's important. And this is so true in our today, where there is so much heretical and false teaching to no teaching at all, to just entertainment in a multitude of churches, from Gnosticism to Calvinism. What is that? Well, look them up. From Universalism to Chrislam, from grace salvation to all forms of work salvation, from filling of the Holy Spirit to mysticism, from replacement theology to total omission of historical significance of the Jews and the church. What's your church doing? It boggles the mind to think of many of the things that are being taught in churches today are really rather what is not being taught. From men and women with no training to those with PhDs who still do not have a clue to what's going on in the Bible. It used to be wonderful, and I used to just, yeah, that's right. Got to be a Dallas man. Be a Dallas seminary man. Not anymore. They're so packed with Calvinism, with a lot of stuff going on in the world, even they are not going to die. Getting a Dallas man is a guarantee of nothing. You've got to find out what that man believes, what he's going to teach. People, there is nothing more important than whom you listen to in what is presented as biblical teaching. I mean nothing. Every one of these lies in heretical teaching can be made to sound so believable. We studied that already in Colossians 2. It sounds so believable, so acceptable, so right. It's so wrong. The biblical Greek is so rich in words describing the function of the pastor-teacher. This is so important to God the Holy Spirit that He uses different words to express different emphasis in the teaching of the Word of God or the Word of Christ, which of course the same. Here we have the present participle of didasko. All its cognates, words that are familiar with it, are derived from it, are derived from the Greek word duo. All the words that are in didasko are derived from a Greek word duo, which means to learn or to be caused to learn by teaching. This word and its cognates occur 100 times in the New Testament. Principle, God desires believers to learn the Word of God, the Word of Christ, the Holy Scriptures. To illustrate the richness of the variety of concepts of words used in the teaching, we have already had two in 1 Corinthians 1:28. we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching. Actually, admonishing is another one. It's surely three. Does not realize that. It should be proclaim him, admonishing, and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. Now, I just got to pause. I don't want to mislead somebody. You are complete in Christ the moment of faith in Christ for salvation. But what Paul is talking about completing Christ is at the judgment seat of Christ. Many believers will be totally incomplete at the judgment seat of Christ. That's why to be able to go through the judgment seat of Christ and get the bride ready for the wedding and have the wedding all in 7 years in heaven isn't going to take that long. Because most believers, it's going to be next, 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 next. He'll call your name next, next, from the day of Pentecost to the rapture. It's going to take that long, because not many are complete in Christ. So I just want to give you a comment of what complete is. First, we have the present active participle we proclaim, noting what should be the continual function of the present participle. Notes what should be the continual function of the pastor teacher of the verb kata agelo. Agelo is angelic. That's where we get the angel, angelos. Angel means messenger. Kata with intensity. So it means to declare openly or aloud, to communicate openly the truth of the Word of God. This word is followed by the present participle of the same verb we have in Colossians 3:16, didasko, for the word teaching. The Complete Word Study Dictionary says this verb is as inherent, now listen, this word has inherent in it to influence the understanding of the person who is taught. Okay, you get that? It's the intent of everyone who stands up to preach and teach to influence your thinking. That's what you're there for. I want to understand the Word of God. I want to understand this passage. I want to understand this issue. And their job is to influence your understanding of the Scripture. So you should pay very close attention to anyone trying to influence your understanding of what the Bible says. Hey, listen, you're a parent. Don't tell me you don't sit down with your daughter and tell her, be very careful. But guys are trying to influence your thinking about your body and all these kind of things. We care very much. Who's trying to influence? People, that's what every commercial on TV is designed to do. Influences. Some of them turn me off. Some of them make me cry. I hate to say that. But it's just amazing. We're influenced. People trying to influence all the time. That's what a pastor's supposed to do. Influence your understanding of Scripture. The Word Study Dictionary goes on to say that the counterparts of this verb are akouo, to hear, for the purpose of understanding. That's your job, to listen. And then mathetes, learner, pupil, disciple. That's your part. We noted another word generally translated preaching or proclaiming in Acts 10:42, where Peter went into the house of a Gentile his first time. He's a Jew, spreading of the gospel. He's now invited into a Gentile's house full of pork-eating Gentiles who know nothing of the Mosaic law. See? Cornelius, who asked Peter to preach or proclaim Jesus Christ. Look at Acts 10:42. And he ordered us, Cornelius, ordered us, Peter and his group, to preach to the people, solemnly, to testify that this is the one, Jesus Christ, who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. Cornelius had a pretty good background of understanding anyway. The objective in preaching, caruso, is to strongly influence the will to make a decision concerning who this Jesus is, Son of God, Savior, and that you should believe in Him. This word is used generally of John the Baptist preaching who this Jesus is. The interesting thing about this word is that it is, by its very nature, demands action. You can imagine John the Baptist going around different groups. This Jesus is the Messiah. This Jesus is the Messiah. He's the one promised. He's the one the prophet spoke of. Believe in him. Immediate action. John the Baptist wasn't there to take you to maturity. He was there to get Jews to believe that this Jesus was the Messiah. So this word demands action on the part of the hearers. Generally, the action of faith. This declaration challenges everyone to believe in Jesus Christ as the only Savior and then to live your life in reference to that initial belief. Matthew 3:1, now in those days, John the Baptist came preaching. Our word in the wilderness of Judea saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Call to action, repent. This word is used to describe the speaking of Jesus. Matthew 9:35. Jesus was going through all of the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming, our word, Cluso, the gospel of the kingdom. Believe that you might enter the kingdom. The Greek word is rich. The Greek language is rich in words for communication of biblical truth. And people, every pastor needs to know these words. This is what a function is. To announce, to proclaim, to teach different things. Colossians 1:28, we proclaim him, Jesus, admonishing everyone, every man, and teaching every man with all wisdom so that we may present every man complete in Christ. Proclaim, admonish, teaching. That's my responsibility. That's the responsibility of any pastor. You will note in this one verse, we have three different words for communication of biblical truth. We proclaim, present active participle, karagelo, to announce or to proclaim openly or aloud. This word emphasizes the manner in which the pastor teacher utilizes his spiritual gift. I got to share this with you. I had, and every word you see that utilize his spiritual gift throughout this, I had the word perform. Kid didn't like performance. He didn't like me performing. He liked me utilizing my gift, not performing my gift. So I said, okay, you're right. I should utilize my gift, not perform. Okay, so utilizing his spiritual gift. Thank you, Kid. In classical Greek, this word referred to an official report proclaimed publicly. In the New Testament, it means to proclaim a message authoritatively to the ears. The content of the message varies. He may proclaim news about Jesus the Christ. It may be the way of salvation, as in Acts 16:17. Following after Paul and us, she kept crying out, saying, these men are bondservants of the Most High God who are proclaiming, that's our word, to you the way of salvation. Or Acts 13:5, which we've already studied, they began to proclaim. By the way, this Wednesday night, we'll not have Acts 16. We'll have a Thanksgiving special. But the following Sunday, we'll be back at Acts 16. Acts 13:5, they began to proclaim the Word of God, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Next in Colossians 1:28, admonishing. Present active participle of the Greek verb neutheteo, to firmly warn. That's her job, is to warn. Or admonish, to exhort, to advise, to urge. And then teaching, present active participle of our verb, didasko, to influence your understanding. So what I've done this morning is giving you things that happen when you go to church, things that should happen. And you have to listen. Be on guard. Be on guard of what he's saying, what he's admonishing, what he's actually wants you to do, these kind of things. Don't vote for this person. Vote for this person. Do this. Do that. Think about what's being done to you. What they're trying to influence you to do. Is this biblical? Is this in line with Scripture? Is this in line with what I should have? So, in this one verse, we have three responsibilities of the pastor-teacher. He is to proclaim Jesus Christ and all that Jesus Christ is to the Father, to the world, and to each of you individually. Secondly, he is to firmly admonish, even warn of believing in Jesus Christ and in making decisions in your life concerning the priority of Jesus Christ. That's why I handed out those two handouts beginning. Warn you, this is going on in churches. This is going on. I'm not that aware of it. I sit at home, I study, I've got grandchildren now, and I learn a little bit from them, I learn a lot from them. But, you know, some people, this is what they do. They spend time studying all this stuff, and I'm thankful for them. I'm thankful. There are people who are apologists. I'm glad I'm not an apologist. I'm thankful for them. I'm thankful that people spend their life doing that, so that I can reap their studies. There are people who spend their life in textual criticism. I don't have that kind of time for every verse, every word, every passage. What's in the Septuagint? What's not? What's in this? What's in that? What's in various translations we have? But I'm glad they do, and I got some good books on them. Those that when I come across a passage that has different translations. But I couldn't do that, but I'm thankful for those that do. These are things that you have to be listening for. And then thirdly, he is to influence your thinking and understanding of Jesus Christ. You will note we have yet another word for communication here in Colossians 1:28, teaching. The word emphasizes your part, didasko, to teach, to instruct. And your part as a hearer is to concentrate on what is being taught. Concentrate. You mean I have to think? I don't just get to emote? No, you think. One lexicon, quote, this word was especially used for the impartation of practical or applicable knowledge, which was basic to the development of skill of any kind, end quote. So when Jesus Christ was teaching, or when a pastor teacher is teaching, didasko, it is with the desired result that the hearers will know how to do or accomplish something. In this case, how to live the Christian life. How to grow in the Christian life, be mature. How to reap rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. I like to keep reminding you, that day's coming. That day's coming. When you and I were in college or high school or something, we knew final exams were coming. I hated it when I was in school. I love it now, and I am filled with the Spirit. I don't know why I'm saying this. But when I was in school, they had the final exams after the Christmas break. That was absolutely absurd. Now they have them before. That's absolutely sane. See? But you just knew they were coming. That's my point. Well, I want you to be constantly aware. Judgment seat of Christ is coming. You will stand before Jesus Christ, and He will evaluate your life in the power of the Holy Spirit. So, another word close in concept to didasko is the compound Greek word parakaleo. This compound verb is made up of the prefix para, which carries the ideal of, to the side of, plus kaleo, to call. This word refers to communication that gives aid, or help, or comfort, or encouragement, and is translated to comfort, to exhort, to call for. You might recall the name of the Holy Spirit, Parakletos, in John 14:16. This word emphasizes communication that helps, comforts, or encourages. Now, let me tell you one of the problems, not problem, but one of the things that a pastor teacher has to do. In every message, and I try, some word of encouragement, because somebody's going to need it. Even in a congregation this size, someone is having physical, marital, financial, world problem. So, there has to be that. Some need to be challenged. Some are getting bored with their Christian life. See, some need to be warned. Most need to just be taught. Teach me the Word of God, so that I can mature in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. A good place to see this in the word parakaleo is in Acts 8:31. Remember what it means now. Where the Ethiopian was reading in Isaiah. Ethiopian is an unbeliever. He's reading in Isaiah. And he's in Philip asked if he understood what he was reading, to which the Ethiopian replied. I love this. And he, the Ethiopian, said to Philip, well, how could I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Well, our Greek word guides me, but he invited, our word is not guides me, but invited Philip. You wouldn't have picked that out. See, The word that we're looking at is the word invited Philip. Actually, he invited Philip to come up and help him understand what he was reading. All of that is in that word. He wanted to understand what he was reading. So he invited Philip to come up and to tell him and explain what he was reading. People, you don't want to go to a church where the pastor doesn't explain the scriptures to you. That is so disarming. Disarming. It's not helpful. You may walk out feeling good, may walk out emoting, but did you learn some things in the Word of God to help you in your life today, tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? See? Help you when you're up. Help you when you're down. Help you when you're talking to someone who needs help. All of those are the responsibilities of the pastor. Or you can see this word in Acts 9:38. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, believers in Jesus Christ, having heard that Peter was there, sent two men to him, imploring him to come and help them understand doctrine. That's our word. Do not delay in coming to us. That word implore is our word, parakaleo. Come and help us. Come to our side. Help us to understand. See? This word is not limited to a one-on-one basis, though. It's the pastor teacher's job. Those examples I just gave you with Philip and the Ethiopian, one-on-one. But it's also an assembly. Look at 1 Thessalonians 2:11. Just as you, believers in Thessalonica, know how we, Paul and his teaching team, were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father with his own children. Well, you can see here we have three words: exhorting, encouraging, imploring. Okay. We have three words for the responsibility of the pastor teacher. We were exhorting. That is the present active participle of the verb parakaleo, comforting, encouraging with scripture. Please remember, when we go through this, Paul is new. Christianity is new in Thessalonica. He is on a missionary journey. He's come and taught them these things. They need this type of encouragement. They need this type of comforting. This is new stuff. Just for example, we saw this Wednesday night. Morality. It's new morality. Under the Roman deal, you could have promiscuity, sex with anybody, everybody, man, woman, it doesn't matter. See? Now comes Christianity. No, promiscuity is wrong. You have one wife, one husband. Why is that? How is that? So they need to understand it, be encouraged, and be comforted. This is the plan of God. So that's the exhorting. Next, encouraging. This time we have the present active participle of the verb para mathuomai, which means to speak kindly, to comfort, or to pacify. A wise pastor teacher considers his audience. Here Paul is teaching them something entirely new, something that has never been on earth before. As he is careful to exhort them to continue in their learning and then encourage them in any difficulties they may encounter in growing in the Word of God. And then implore. Imploring each one of you. Actually, this word means to bear witness. A good place, the word to implore, to bear witness. John 5:39 is a good place to see this word. You search the scriptures because you think. This is Jesus talking to the Jews, because you think in them you have eternal life. They just started reading the scriptures, they have eternal life. People, I know people, well, if I just learn Bible doctrine, that's all. God's going to reward me if I have lots of doctrine in my head. No, no, no! It's not about how big is your notebook. How much doctrine do you have in your mind? It's the understanding of that doctrine that influences your life, influences your marriage, influences your finance, influences getting to church and listening to the teaching of the Word of God, influences your witnessing, influences what you do with your time and your money. That's the great issue. So you search the Scripture because you think in them you have eternal life. No, it is these that testify, bear witness of me. 1 Thessalonians 2:11, just as you believers in Thessalonica know how we were encouraging and learning the Christian way of life in the Spirit-filled life, encouraging you may become weary, encounter opposition. So we want to encourage you and employ people. I wouldn't give a hoot for a mother and a father that didn't encourage their children all the time. Not berate them. Not berate them. Not when, oh, well, they did something bad. Big deal. You deal with that. You encourage them not to do it. You encourage them why. You encourage them how to live, how to eat, how to talk, how to live. That's what your job is. To teach, to encourage. Not to berate them. Yes, you will have to times, but not all the time and not often. Your job is to encourage them. So this is the word encourage, because there's going to be opposition. Satan is going to oppose them. Jews are going to oppose them. See, Jews followed Paul around and countered everything he was saying. Oh, you got to do the law. You got to be encouraged to live the Christian life. I should encourage you more to get here on Wednesday night and Sundays. Encourage you that your time spent studying the Word of God should be valuable, should be important to you, should be the most important, more important than television, more important than anything else. And then the word implore, being a witness of the truth of these things. I, Paul, have gone through what most of you will go through, but let me be a witness of the truthfulness of the things I am teaching. Each one of you, as a father, would his own children. My son, daughter, I know growing up has its difficulties and setbacks and disappointments, but let me exhort you not to give up, but let me encourage you to keep on learning and growing. I have been there where you are. I am a witness to the wonders of being an adult in Christ. That's what a good parent should do. Let's see where we are in our study of the responsibilities of the pastor teacher, the one you sit under to study and learn the Word of God. 1, Didasco, Colossians 3:16, to influence your understanding of the Word of God. Cause to learn by teaching. This word emphasizes your part in communication, to pay attention, so that you may learn the Word of God. By the way, Jesus Christ tells us that the Holy Spirit would teach us in John 14:26. This teaching often includes challenging religious systems like Judaism, Acts 21:21 and 28. Now, 2, katagelo, to declare openly or aloud. I like that aloud. Aloud, to proclaim, preach openly, to communicate openly the truth of the Word of God. This word emphasizes the manner in which the pastor teacher utilizes his spiritual gift to proclaim a message authoritatively to the hearers. The content of the proclamation varies in the New Testament. The death of Christ, the resurrection, the Word of God, the way of salvation, the mystery of God, the gospel, the person of Jesus Christ, and on and on and on. 3, caruso, the objective of preaching. This word is too broad to limit to preaching. Caruso is to strongly influence the will to make a decision concerning who this Jesus is, the Son of God and the Savior, that you should believe in Him, and then that you should live your life in respect of your relationship with Him, to attend the study of the teaching of the Word of God. In Acts, the content of this verb is primarily Jesus, while the Synoptic Gospels, the subject was the kingdom. Both Paul and Peter concentrate on Jesus Christ. Emphasis of this word is not attached to the proclaiming as though Christianity contains something new in content. Listen now. The gospel is not a new doctrine. The proclamation itself is what is new. In the Old Testament, it was given in prophecy. But now, the proclaiming of the reality of the Messiah Jesus has been crucified and resurrected. What I'm saying here is, in the Old Testament, God chose a nation. And they would get the message out, but it didn't matter. When a Babylonian believed in this Jesus, coming Messiah, not Jesus, the coming Messiah, they were saved and that's it. But now, the proclamation is what has changed. The message is the same. But now, the proclamation is proclaimed to everyone, because everyone is in full-time Christian service who believes in Jesus Christ. So history brought about a new way and a new emphasis in proclaiming this truth. Four, nuthateo, to firmly warn or admonish, to exhort, to advise or urge. As you can see from the prefix, nous, the mind, plus to put, tithemi, to put, to set, therefore, to put into the mind. People, let's say you're sitting here and I've done 5 minutes on some encouraging. You're doing fine, everything's fine. Come on, get on with it. I don't need that. Somebody else does. Remember that. Somebody else may need that encouragement. Somebody else may need that warning. You're well up. In fact, you're better up on what's going on than the preacher is. You don't need to waste your time on that. Somebody else does. So it's just these things that come along that the Holy Spirit knows what is needed by individuals in the congregation. I don't know. It's none of my business. Sometimes even I wonder, why did I say that? What's going on with that? The Holy Spirit put it there, not me. So it's up to Him. But I'm helping you understand why different things are covered. Okay, five, parakaleo. This word refers to communication that gives aid or help of comfort, encouragement, and is translated to comfort, to exhort, to call for. The word emphasizes communication that helps, comforts, or encourages. Paramuthelomai, which means to speak kindly, to comfort, to pacify. Seven, apagelo, to tell, to declare, to announce. Acts 11:13, and he reported to us how he had seen the angel standing in his house, this is done by Cornelius, standing in his house saying, send to Joppa and have Simon Peter, who is also called Peter, brought here. See that word reported? That's our word. Hebrews 2:12, saying, I will proclaim. One place is translated report, one place is translated proclaim. Your name to my brethren, in the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praises. You don't want me singing, but I will do it verbally. Okay. And amagelo, to announce, to make known, to declare. Acts 20:20. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable. Report, proclaim, declare. Now the eighth word. Diamar to thuomai, to bear witness, to testify, to earnestly or repeatedly. Acts 2:40. With many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation, exhorting parakaleo from number 5 above. All right, Acts 8:25. So, when they had solemnly testified and spoken, now note the next word, laleo, see, the word of the Lord, the word spoken is laleo, the word of the Lord, they started back to Jerusalem and were preaching the gospel to many villages of Samaritans. Now, what I want you to see, how many passages have we read, had two or three different words for communication? I want them all to jump out at you. Be aware these are different things that have to be done with the communication of the word. Solemnly testified, spoken, see, gospel. See? Now, nine, laleo. This is the most common word referring simply to speak, to communicate. But the emphasis is on what is spoken. Acts 3:24, and likewise all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and his successors onward also announced these things. Okay, they spoke, but what's important is what they spoke, these things, these days. Let's look at 9:6. But get up and enter the city, and it will be told you, that's just speaking to you, just spoken, but what is important is what's important, what you must do. Coming up in Colossians 4:3, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak, that's a laleo, just simply speak, forth the mystery of Christ. The emphasis of laleo is what is being spoken. The word laleo just means to communicate. the word emphasizes what is being communicated. There are still a few other words, but this will give you some idea of just how important the teaching of the Word of God is to God the Holy Spirit. But for this to happen, Colossians 3:16, the Word of Christ let indwell you richly with or by all wisdom teaching. For this teaching to occur, some things have to happen. One, the pastor teacher must be born again believer in Jesus Christ as Savior. Not all pastors are believers. I love the movie, I don't know how many saw it, Left Behind, and there was a preacher left behind. I thought that was really funny. He must be, not funny really, but tragic. He must be saved. Why? Why must he be saved? Only when a person is saved does God the Holy Spirit give him the spiritual gift of pastor teacher. That's why. Two, at the point of salvation, saving faith in Christ as Savior, Savior God, the Holy Spirit, bestows on every believer a spiritual gift. But only on a few males are given the gift of pastor teacher. Three, while some things are extremely advantageous, like working knowledge of Old Testament and New Testament languages, these are not essential. But there are some things that are essential. Do you understand? It's not essential that a pastor have the working knowledge of the Greek and Hebrew. That's not essential. It's very edifying. They're just jewels in the languages that come out that are beautiful. But it's not essential. But there are some things that are essential for every pastor teacher. One, sitting as a member of the congregation where the Word of God is taught exegetically, categorically, verse-by-verse teaching. In other words, before becoming a pastor, he must be a member of a congregation. Self-discipline, sitting and learning. Any number of activities that will teach him self-discipline, like military training, academics. So we have the preparation of all that includes and all whatever period of time God determines for each individual. Some learn it early in life. I knew at seven. 7 years, I didn't want to be a policeman or a fireman. That's what most of the kids wanted to be when I was a kid, or else a cowboy. But I was going to be a preacher. And that kind of guided me. Others don't learn it till late in life. I had a good friend. He was a vet. He went to vet school, and as he came out of vet school and all, he just started learning the Word of God. Said, "Man, I want to be a pastor. That's what I want to do." So he was in seminary with me. He was my doctor in seminary, a vet. Okay, this training is personal and differs for each man on his way to becoming a pastor teacher. Unfortunately, I had a man. He's now out of the ministry. Come to my home, stayed a couple of nights with me. He wanted to just talk about being a pastor. He was on his way to going to USC, and then he was going to go to Arizona, and then he was going to go to Dallas. He's going to do everything Bob Thiem did. He was just going to, every educational thing Bob Thiem did, he was going to follow suit so he could be like Bob Thiem. And I almost started laughing, but I decided he's serious. This guy needs some help. And I said, even if you did all those, you're not going to turn out that way. You're your own person. You're going to have your own delivery. Forget all that nonsense. And he, a couple of years later, wrote me and thanked me for that understanding. But God deals with each individual differently. Don't try to copy somebody. I know guys used to copy Billy Graham. Stand in front of a mirror. Hold the Bible up like Graham does. And you're going to be like Billy Graham. The pastor has to be who he is. In seminary, Dr. Kennedy, in homiletics, he would just stand just like this and just talk. And the pop went crazy. I loved it. The content was great. Content was better than anybody else in the class. See? Most of them in the class. But everybody has their own delivery, their own educational background. So don't try to put your new pastor into the old Dr. So-and-so. Well, Dr. So-and-so never did that. He didn't do that way. And Dr. So-and-so used to come by at the back and pat me on my shoulder and tell me how wonderful I was. This guy doesn't do that. Just let each pastor be who they are in Christ. Then There is identification. With such local, verse 4, there's identification. First, identification that he has a gift of pastor teacher. Once he makes this identification, he has set the course for his life. He has to study, hopefully in some seminary or some advanced academics in the languages, theology, and if possible, church history. Not absolutely necessary about the language, but it's to his advantage if he does. Then, and by the way, I went to seminary with guys, second, third year. I don't have a gift. I thought I did. This is not what I want. I'm not going to spend my life studying. I'm out of here. They dropped out. Some went ahead and finished, and like one of them graduated and became an insurance salesman. I hope he was very good. I don't know. But it just, he has to identify. But, and he's going to do it right. It's not just going to the hospital, kissing babies, visiting people. It's sitting in your office. That's what you have people in the church to do. Visit the hospital, kiss the babies, do all this other stuff. Your job is to study the Word of God and communicate the Word of God. That's the first identification. Then there is identification with some local body of believers. Example, Paul and Barnabas were identified with the assembly of Antioch. Barnabas was key here, but what happened was Antioch became a Gentile church and replaced Jerusalem. Jerusalem kept declining as the mother church. Antioch was the church. Barnabas went there. He went, wow, this is super. He left and went and sought out Paul. Went to a lot of different places. Found Paul. Said, Paul, you've got to come to Antioch. They're having an unbelievable revival in their gospel. These are Gentiles. And they have missionary activity. Let's go. And so Paul owed Barnabas being in Antioch. So have to be identified with somebody. 5, knowledge of pertinent doctrine. Salvation, spirituality, both by grace and faith, prophecy, above all, spiritual love, to guide him in interacting with members of the assembly where he will teach and serve. 6, a word on marriage. It is not necessary that he be married. It is best if he identifies that he has a gift of pastor-teacher before he marries. But of course, this is not always the case. I feel sorry for the poor woman who marries this yo-yo, and then he finds out he has a gift of pastor-teacher, and she's married to him. She didn't marry to be a pastor's wife. She didn't marry to go to church every time the door is open, but that's where she is. So, girls, find out if the guy you're thinking about marrying has a gift of pastor-teacher before you marry him, babe, because it's always an advantage. There's a lot to be done if it works out afterward. The woman that he marries is very important to his success of study. Study. Success in study. She's got to support his studying as well as his teaching. She must compliment him, not counter him. She does not have to be a servant of the church. That's another misaffirmation. Well, every pastor's wife has to be a worker in the church, teach the children, teach this, run the hand of the mother, do something. No, not at all. She's there for him. Your wife is not for the church. Your wife's for you. Your husband's for you. Well, his wife should be for him. Now, if she wants to work in the church, that's fine if it works out between them. I grew up in a Baptist church. I will always love and can't wait to see Brother Harold's wife. She was a jewel. Every year at Vacation Bible School, she would mesmerize 100 little kids sitting on the floor telling biblical stories by Mr. Blue Jay, Mr. Crow, Mr. Red Dirt, Red Bar, all these different ones. Unbelievable woman. Unbelievable. See? But different women, different things. So the church needs to understand the wife, you're hiring the wife as his husband, as his wife, but not to serve the church, necessarily. That's her job, and to serve him. She does not have to be a servant of the church, which unfortunately many churches try to force her to be highly active in the assembly. It is more essential that she takes care of her husband and is a prayer warrior. 7, final identification, where does God want him to serve? This covers a variety of circumstances, and it differs with each one. but he must be led of the Holy Spirit, as the congregation where he is thinking to go must be led of the Holy Spirit. David Chavon and I, he's now home with the Lord. We're in our senior year, spring semester. That's January to May. Going to graduate in May. So where's God going to send us? Where's God going to send us? Well, we went to a Bible conference in Miami. We shared this afterward. We both were praying. Maybe Miami. God, can you believe we're going to be in Miami? Just stay Miami. On the way back, God, please don't send me to Miami. Please don't send me to Miami. I hate Miami. I don't like the people. I don't like the city. I don't like anything there. See? Just let God decide where you go. Let God decide. My prayer was simple. Father, anywhere. But if it's very, very cold, please have my home in the basement of the church. Just that's all I ask for. That I don't have to get out in it. That's all I ask. I'll go anywhere. But just if it's real, real cold, let me be in the basement. If it's in Alaska, Minnesota, up there where it's cold, New York, then give me my home in the basement. God decides. You don't decide. God decides. See? If I decided, I'd be in Southern California. I'd have the mountains to the east, the ocean to the west, and y'all have to find out where I am that Sunday. See? Each passing Sunday. So God said, no, I'm not going to do that with you either. So this is individual. So these are things that we're studying and teaching the Word of God. And hope it gives you some understanding of why I passed out those four handouts at the beginning. Let's close in a word of prayer. So many things have to happen for us to learn your will, for us to learn your word. Most important was you giving it to us. Next to that was the Holy Spirit compiling 66 books. And then, Heavenly Father, the preparation of men to teach us the Word of God. And then our job to listen, to be there, to support it financially, but support it physically, prayerfully, teaching of the Word of God. All of this, Father, that we might grow in the saving knowledge, the grace of Jesus Christ, our Savior, and understanding you. Father, I pray your Spirit can use the things we've seen this morning to the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen.